I just want to keep rocking on where we're at because I believe the Lord's blessing it, touching it, using it. So tonight I want to talk to you about what else grieves the Holy Spirit, part two. Ephesians chapter number 4 tonight, you'll see what grieves the Holy Spirit in your life. But tonight, I want you to know not only bitterness, but we got a few other things. So tonight, if you have a copy of God's Word, I would ask you to stand. We're going to read Ephesians 4, if you have a Bible. Ephesians chapter number 4 is where we're going to be at tonight. Ephesians 4, our key verse is 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 7. But tonight, I'm going to read Ephesians 4. Verse number 30 and 31, and the Bible says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Let us pray. Father God, we love you. We thank you for this night. We thank you that you allowed us to come to your house, Lord God. Lord, I thank you for this night. I thank you for the blessings of life. I thank you for Thanksgiving. And I thank you most of all for the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me, that was able to come to me when Jesus Christ, your Son, saved my soul from a devil's hell, Father, when I admitted that he was the way, the truth, and the life. And you saved my soul, Father. Now I've got a home in heaven. I thank you for that. The Holy Spirit lives inside of me. I don't want to do nothing to grieve him. Father, I pray tonight that you bless this word. Bless your people. Watch over us tonight. Let us be in one accord, one mind, one spirit. Lord God, let no division come amongst this place. Lord, we ask it tonight in Jesus' most holy, precious name. Ask you to guard my throat, guard my thoughts. In Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. The spirit that is within tonight. The key verse to memorize, if you're memorizing verses, is this. 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 7, the Bible says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." To memorize means to learn or to know or to keep forever. You say, well, what does that mean tonight? Preacher Paul here, he told Timothy that you can stir up the spirit. You can stir the spirit because the spirit has emotions like you and I. You can stir up that spirit. You can quench the spirit, or you can even grieve the spirit. So right now we're on grieving the spirit of God, grieving the spirit that lives inside of you. And tonight I want to say to you, last week we talked about bitterness, but tonight we want to cover the rest that would grieve that Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. We've already looked at bitterness within a believer. So now let's look at a few other things that will grieve the Holy Spirit and that we must get rid of. That we must get rid of them out of our life. I'm not talking about playing with them. You can't play with bitterness because it's a root. It'll spring up in your life and it'll take over. You can't play with this now. You can't play with none of these because they'll take over in your life. Ephesians 4, 30 and 31, we've done read it. But grieving means to sadden or make one sorry or heavy. And the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And if you make that spirit sorry, you're going to be sorrowful in your own spirit. If you grieve it, you're going to be grieved. So tonight I want to look at a few things that he say that must leave in our life. Look what he says here in verse number 31. Let all bitterness and wrath. And when you see that word "and," that also will be all. Let all bitterness, all wrath, all anger, all clamor. That's what the King James Bible is saying there. Let all of this, not just some of it, get rid of all of it. So I get rid of all bitterness. It must go, but also wrath must go. And you say tonight, preacher, I don't have wrath in my life. It's Thanksgiving season. And you know, we can get a spell on us and be thankful for one week out of a year or Christmas time. We can be joyful one time a year. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about 365 days that these do not show up in your life. So wrath must go. You say, what is wrath, preacher? It is when you get boiling hot. Get this tonight. When you have bitterness, it's going to produce wrath. So to have wrath tonight is when you get boiling hot, you get outraged, outburst, or you get hot-headed. Does that not sound like anything that we live in? To have wrath is when you're boiling hot, you get outraged, you outburst, or you get hot-headed. James 1, 19 through 20, the Bible says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." If you're a hothead tonight and you blow up at everything that comes your way, there is no way that you can be working the righteousness of God through your life. There's no way you can be showing Jesus Christ the way that we should be if we have this wrath in our life. If we're always blowing up, we're always getting mad, we're always a hothead. That's not good. You say, well, I was born that way. Yeah, but when you got saved, that ought to be put to death. Amen? says tonight, wrath must go. But in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation. You say, preacher, you don't know who I have to deal with. You don't know who I live with. There's a way out. Amen. There's a way out. Every one of us has got a house. We've got a door on it. You can go out and take 10 minutes, 5 minutes, count to 10, count to 5, do whatever. You don't have to blow off the handle. So I'm just telling you tonight, man. I've been studying in Ephesians, and it's just doing me good. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful. Woo! Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. There is not going to come a temptation in your life that you can't handle in the name of Jesus. He said there's not a temptation that's going to come your way that he's not gave you a way out. And look at this. To be tempted above that you're able, but with the temptation also, he's going to make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. That you may be get out of what's going on in your life and you don't have to have wrath. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Have you ever had somebody say something to you and you know how you respond is how the next conversation is going to go? And sometimes there's something inside of you saying, keep your mouth shut. Don't say that. Don't go there. Don't do that. Don't do that. It's going to be wrong. But we override it anyway. You know what that is for a believer? That's the Holy Spirit telling us not to go that way, not to use that. And tonight he says this in Proverbs 22:24-25. Make no friendship with an angry man. A man that's angry, stay away from him. You know when a man has wrath. You know when he's angry. You know when he's bitter. Stay away from him. You say, preacher, I want to try to make it right. Say your peace and get away. Do not get involved in it. Make no friendship with an angry man. And with the furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to your soul. What does that mean that you'll learn his way? If that man's got wrath, if that man's got bitterness, and you run with him, it won't be long. You'll have anger, you'll have wrath, and you'll have bitterness. What you run with, you're going to be like. You hang around with it long enough, you're going to act like them. You're going to talk like them, and you're going to be just what they are in their life. And get this tonight, when we get boiling hot, man, I wrote this down, the last point under number one, when we get boiling hot, okay, everybody in this room has been boiling hot before. If you ain't, get ready, it's coming this week probably. I'm not talking about, now, hon, we don't need to do that. I'm talking about fired up. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about blood pressure. That thing's ticking in the side of your neck so hard. I mean, you think it's fixing to blow. I'm talking about mad. When we get boiling hot as a man, I don't know what a woman does, but as a man, when we get boiling hot, we say things that in a few days, we regret saying, even if it's true. When I get boiling hot and I get mad, I'll say something that in a few days, I'll look at my wife and I'll tell Branson, man, I wish I wouldn't have said that. Man, I wish I wouldn't have said that. And on this paper, I wrote down, oh, me. On that computer, every time I went to click me, Brother Lee, oh, me, you know what it wanted to do? It wanted me to change it to oh, my. Oh, no, it ain't oh my, it's oh me. Oh me, because that is me. That is what I do. There's times I get boiling hot and I say things that I wished I wouldn't have said and I regret it in a few days. But you know what? Once it comes out, ain't nothing you can do about it. You can't reel it back in. You can't get it back in. The damage is done, been done. So there's some things that must go out the door in our life. We must keep it under control. Number one's bitterness. Number two's the wrath must go. And number two on the paper tonight, anger must go. Where there's wrath, there's going to be anger. And here's what anger is. He says this, and let all bitterness, all wrath, and all anger. Anger must go. Anger's this, you're less explosive than wrath. Somebody that is angry, wrath is somebody just blows up. I'm talking about, son, they're like an atomic bomb. When they get mad, they ain't got no sense. They just blow up. Y'all know what I'm saying? We got some daddies in here like that. Son, they cool as they can be, but if they ever get to that point of just fired up, they fired up, and it takes days to cool them down. Wrath must go and anger must go. Less explosive than wrath, but it brews in a person sometimes for years. You've kept it in for years. Bitterness, anger. Now you got this anger, and it's built for years. Proverbs 29:22 says, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgressions. I wrote this down. Slow down. Slow down. If you want the Holy Spirit to work in your life and it not to be grieved, you got to let bitterness go, you got to let wrath go, and you must let anger go. You cannot be angry. You want to know if you're angry at somebody, bitter, or you got anger or wrath towards somebody, let their name come up and see how your blood pressure gets. When you hear their name, how does your blood pressure get? If you hear their name and it's just cool, man, yeah, that's a good old boy right there. It's just cool. But if you hear their name and your blood starts boiling, you've got a little bitterness on the inside, you've got a little anger, and you've got a little wrath toward that individual. Slow down. Get this tonight. Anger must go, but you and I must slow down and realize that God works through your or our offenders. The people that offend you, God could be using them to help you. If you are never, God uses sermons, God uses songs, God uses people, God uses problems, all kind of things to grow our faith in Christ Jesus. And tonight we must slow down and realize that God works through your offenders. You remember Joseph and what happened to him and his brother? I wrote that illustration down here in Genesis 50:20. You remember what they did? They took him, took his coat of many colors, threw him in a pit. You remember what happened? Said he was dead, said he died, but sold him out to a bunch of Ishmaelites, and they took him off. And here's what Joseph said. He could have been ill. He could have been mad. He could have had anger. He could have had wrath, bitterness. He had no bitterness toward his brothers. Here's what he said, because he knew God was in control. And here's what he said. But as far as you, you thought evil against me, but God. What you thought you was doing was evil toward me, but hey, vengeance ain't mine. It's his. I'm going to let God handle my battles. Amen. He says, but as far as you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. He said, what you thought was going to be evil, God's going to make good. To bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. He also says here in 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Tonight, as a child of God tonight, you're going to suffer persecution. There's going to be things that's going to come your way that's going to try to stir you to be bitter. There's going to be things that come your way that's going to try to stir you to have wrath and to heat up and boil up and boil over. There's nothing more than this world wants to see than a Christian get mad and angry. That's all the world wants to see. You blow your top, get mad and angry, and come unglued. That's what the world's wanting to see. You say, why, preacher? Because that's what they want to see. They don't want to see you calm, with peace, and good standings, just relaxed. They don't want to see that. The world wants to keep you in turmoil. And guess who else wants to keep you in turmoil? Satan himself. There's nothing he wants more than to see you blow up. And I look over here to my right, and he wants you to blow up on your family before you blow up on anybody else, by the way. Husband, he wants you to talk down to your wife before you do it to anybody else. He wants you to go crazy at home. Because if he can destroy the home, he's won half the battle right there. If he can destroy the home, he's won half the battle right there. He wants you to belittle your wife. He wants you to belittle your children. He wants you to do all these things. And he'll start off with bitterness, wrath, and anger. Anger must go. I wrote this down under anger. I know it's hard, but slow down and respond the right way. Slow down and respond the right way. Wrath, bitterness must go. Wrath must go. Anger must go. And then here's the next one that he said that must go if you don't want to grieve the Spirit of God. Man, you can have bitterness in your life and come to a congregation like this on Sunday morning where there's several people here, and that one bitter person can ruin the whole bunch. We went to Sam's the other day, and since I've had my heart surgery, I ate a lot of fruit. Bananas, apples, ate a lot of fruit. You can go to Walmart or Hamilton, you can buy pink ladies. Y'all know what a pink lady is? You can buy... Everybody knows what them are? A green apple. You can buy a green apple, a Granny Smith, or you can buy a pink lady. You go to Hamilton Walmart, they look like they're on a diet. I mean, seriously, them things about that. I'm serious about that big round. You can go to Sam's, though, at Tupelo, and them things. I'm talking about something. You cut one of them up, you got a meal. You got a big meal when you go over and get one of them. And I'm talking about, man, they just fit right where you need it to be. But since I've had my heart surgery, I eat a lot of fruit. And I do that to just live healthy, do better, whatever the thing is. And I come in the other day, and there was two that I hadn't ate from the previous weeks. There's some ones on diet, you know, little Midians. And I come in and I asked Kaylee, I said, why you got them laying up there? She said, well, them ain't no good no more. They look good. This is today. They look good. They were still red. They were still, you know, presentable. But when you turn them things around and touch them, they were just rotten. Rotten. You know what you do when you get a hold of a rotten apple that ain't no good? It'll have a spot on it. It'll be brown. Be rotten. Be bitter. It's lost all of its flavor. It's lost every, I mean, it gets nasty. You don't believe me, get you one that's brown. I'm not talking about a spot. I'm talking about brown and not know it and bite into it. Done it. It won't take you long to spit it out. You know what the world don't want to be? They don't want to be around a bitter Christian. You're supposed to be sweet. It's supposed to taste good when they're around you. Tonight, bitterness, wrath, and anger has got to go. And then he said, clamor, all clamor. You say, what's clamor, preacher? That's when you get so mad, you're so bitter at somebody, you got so much anger and hatred in your heart, and you can be saved and have this in your life. You can. But you've grieved the Holy Spirit of God. So much wrath, so much anger, and then clamor must go. And what is clamor is basically this, and this is it, is when you start, you get to the point, you're so mad, you start shouting and you start screaming and you're so mad, you're just out of control. Boy, that's a mouthful. I would almost say that, I don't know about you, I don't know your life, but your preacher's been there many a times. Well, I get so mad, I start shouting and screaming and just get out of control. The Bible says in Proverbs 25:11, though, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. If you'll calm that down and speak the right word at the right time, it's like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Wrath must go, anger must go, and clamor must go. I wrote this down. Get away from the situation, whatever's making you get that mad, before you have a come apart. Get away from it. Get away from it. If it's got you that mad, that heated, you don't need to be around it. I don't care what it is. Get away from it. I talk to myself tonight. Ooh, glory. Grieving means to sadden, make one's sorrow heavy. Wrath must go. Anger must go. Clamor must go. And I love when he said this, evil speaking must go. It'll first start off bitter. Nobody will know the roots in there. It'll start off real little, bitter. Then wrath, you can see it on their face. They ain't said a whole lot yet, but they'll have wrath. Dodgy. They'll have anger. They'll get clamorous. And then the evil speaking will start. Folks, tonight I want to say this to you. What is evil speaking, preacher? It's when you talk about someone or you destroy their name. You ever been around somebody that's talked bad about somebody else? That would make you feel bad if they talking bad about somebody else. Especially if it's your brother or sister. And all they do is run their mouth about them. That would make you feel bad because they're your brothers and sisters. Neither one of mine are here right now, but I got two sisters. And I can talk about them all day long. But I don't want nobody else talking about them. Why? I get fighting mad. Why? Because they're my brothers and sisters. Well, what if it's right? I don't care. They mine. I don't want you talking about them. Does that resonate anywhere? What about our brothers and sisters in Christ? Should it not be that way? I wrote this down, and you always remember this. You said, old preacher, he's crazy, but he knew what he's talking about on this one. Stay away from folks. I wrote this down, and they didn't want me to write the word folks on that laptop neither. They wanted me to change it. Stay away from folks that love to rail or slander on other folks, because you'll be next. Huh? You stay away from them because... Let me get back up here. You'll be next. That person that loves to rail on something. You know, some people can't talk unless they're talking about somebody. Did y'all know that? There's some people ain't got nothing good to say, ain't going to say nothing good, ain't going to say nothing good, won't say nothing good. Can't get them to say nothing good about nobody. It's always bad, and they're always wrong. And they're always railing on them, slandering them, cutting them. Listen to me. If you don't get away from them, you'll be next. You'll be their next topic. You'll be their next butter on the bread. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. Keep running with them. You'll be the next. You say, preacher, you believe that? I believe that 100%. I want to be around somebody that loves Jesus, on fire, and could care less about anything else. That's the people I like to be around. Just love Jesus. Just have a good time. He has done so much for you. He's done so much for me. That, man, I ought to be able to live free. No bitterness, no wrath, no clamor, no anger, and no evil speaking. Let me share this with you right here. Let me share this with you. 1 Corinthians 5:11. You say, but they may go to church with you. They may work with you. You say, what am I supposed to do? Get away from them. Paul told the church of Corinth this right here. He says, but now I have written unto you not to keep company. That means, you know what it means, don't keep company? That's old times saying. Now, some of y'all older folks ought to know that. My granny said, boy, you don't need to keep company with them. You don't need to keep company with that boy. That boy ain't no good. I said, granny, he's my friend. You don't need to keep company with him. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. And if any man that is called a brother, says he's a brother, but he's a fornicator, covetous, idolater, and a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, which such one know not to eat. He said, don't eat with him. Don't break bread with him. And the last thing that must go is malice. And I pray none of us has ever been there. But if you allow bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking to stay in your life, it won't be long. You'll have malice. And malice is this, to injure someone. You're so mad, you want to hurt them. Not with words, but physically. To injure someone or to cause them ill will at whatever cost. If you look back in Ephesians 4 and verse number 32, here's what we should be doing before we do the conclusion. He says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake have forgiven you. So what are we supposed to be doing? Loving one another. Encouraging one another. Conclusion is this. We all are subject to bitterness. I believe that. We all are subject to bitterness. Wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and malice. We're all subject to it. Nobody's above it. We can all have... You have it tomorrow. We must keep them in check so the Holy Spirit will not be grieved. Tonight, your best friend is the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you tonight. And he don't want to be grieved. Have you ever been somewhere you knew you wouldn't welcome? Maybe they said, come on, man, you come on, come on. And you get there and you're like, man, I've told my wife before, we went places. I told her, I said, I don't think we're supposed to be there. Baby, I think we're at the wrong place. We went to the Renaissance in Birmingham. What was the name of that place? Renaissance. On the Robert Trent Jones Golf Course. Ross Bridge. I was going to take her there for our anniversary or something. Wine and dine. Me, her, and Kaylee was together. And we pulled up, and they was all in Cadillacs, and we was in a Chevy Cobalt. I ain't lying to you. I pulled up and they said $32 valet parking. I said, what? $32 and we'll go park. I said, man, where do I park this thing at? Y'all think I'm lying. I'm telling you honest God the truth. They said, well, you can park down there. We had to go to the lower 40. Y'all know what that means, lower 40. Man, we parked way down yonder. I mean down there. We walked back up with the duffel bags. Everybody else got nice suitcase rollers on it. We got duffel bags. And we get up there and Katie Little, she's probably 6, 7, 8 year old, 9. Little. And she want to go swimming. I told Brandon, let's go swimming. So I put on my white T-shirt. Brother Harold, you know what I'm talking about. White T-shirt we wear up underneath the shirt. I had it on. I had on my swimming trunks. Had on my Georgia boots. That's what I had on, Georgia boots. And Kaylee had a little old swimmer around her. And Brandy had on her swimsuit with a cover up on. And we get on the elevator, and there's so many numbers on that thing. I mean, it's just lined up. She said, "What do you think the pool is?" I said, "B, bottom, of course. B, bottom." We hit the B, and that thing goes ding, 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 ding. When it opens up, we strut out through there, and we're at the ballroom. There is people in evening gowns, tuxedos, and there we stand. Me with my Georgia boots on, Kaylee with her little old swim thing on, and everybody's looking at us, and we're looking at them, and I gently say, "This ain't where the pool is." What do we do? I said, "Get back on the elevator now." You see how awkward that would be in our life? And that happened. And that I can give you 100 more of them that's happened that I thought I knew and I didn't know. But listen, just as awkward as that was in our life, that's the same way the Holy Spirit is. When we got bitterness, we got anger, wrath and clamor and evil speaking. When you're slandering somebody, he feels so uncomfortable. If you're a Christian and you slander somebody, it ought to eat you alive. It ought to eat you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. You say, "Preacher, it ain't never bothered me." Well, you need to get born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Because you got somebody living inside of you, and it ought to bother him. When I got bitterness towards somebody, I got anger, I got clamor. It ought to bother, man, it ought to bother that spirit so bad. So, "Preacher, I ain't never been bothered with my life. I can eat anybody up one side and down the other and live with it, not lose a bit of sleep." You need to be born again, washed in the blood of Jesus. Because he said, if you do them things, it grieves the Spirit of God. You know what? You know about the only time I grieve is when somebody's dying. I don't grieve over a lot of stuff. But you hear the word grieve, where at? At a funeral. When somebody's dying. Don't kill that spirit inside of you. You got a roaring lion living inside of you. Let him run free. Father, I love you. I praise you. I glorify you. I thank you for this night. Lord, I thank you for the Holy Ghost. Lord God, I thank you for him tonight, Lord God. Lord God, all we have to do is look in that book tonight, Father, and your book tells us what to do, how to live, where to go. Father, I thank you for that tonight, Lord God. You gave us directions. You gave us instructions. You gave us the roadmap. Lord, you've not hid nothing out. You showed us exactly where everything is. And Lord, I thank you for that tonight. Lord, I praise you for that tonight. I thank you for a church body tonight that I would almost say that could be amongst us tonight, Father. I don't know, but you do. But I sure am thankful for the love of Jesus that's in this place. Lord God, I sure am thankful that right now none of that's named amongst us right now, Father. But I know come Sunday it could be amongst us. It could be amongst us before we leave tonight. But Lord God, I pray tonight you search my heart. Lord God, you keep me in your perfect will so I won't be in your way. Father, I love you, I praise you, and I glorify you. In Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people said, amen.